I bid you peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I welcome each and every one of you to this glorious day, the day of resurrection. Would you all please, as you are able and called, stand so that we might together rejoice by singing Jesus Christ is Risen Today, number 123.
Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Let us come into a time of praise and thanksgiving for the gift of new life which we witness this day. Let us begin our worship now saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen indeed.
This is the good news we have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved. That Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again on the third day.
Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen indeed.
He appeared to Peter and to the 12 and to many faithful witnesses.
Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen indeed.
At last he came to us that we might come to believe and proclaim this good news to the world.
Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 121, "That Easter Day with Joy Was Bright."
Sun shone out with fear and light.
faith in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved from sin, so that we may share in the life eternal with our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even so, each day we still turn from God's ways. Yet Christ himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that freed from the grasp of sin, we might live in righteousness. Therefore, trusting in God's holy grace, let us boldly state the condition of our lives, saying, Living Lord, when we stand before the empty tomb, we don't always feel the joy of resurrection.
We feel fear, doubt, and distrust.
We feel empty.
Forgive the fear that paralyzes us at the brink of new life.
Forgive our doubt of your love. Forgive our distrust
of your surprising, joyous plan. Fill our emptiness with your glorious light.
Raise us to abundant new life
for the glory of your name.
All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, but now we have returned to the Good Shepherd who guards our souls. Therefore, hear the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with one another with a wave or a nod, and then share it with all you meet this day. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 118. As we have done throughout Lent, we will again take time between verses to silently meditate on these joyous words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks be to God for God's word.
Everyone is here with us today. I'm especially glad to You know, their names, well, they have like Bev and Terry and, you know, Anna. They've got names like us. But the name of the bell choir is the Bells of Praise. The Bells of Praise. Did you think that that sounded like a praising song? A happy, joyful song? Yeah? It was, wasn't it? It's joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That's the name of it. And it's a song that's actually in our blue books. And we sing it sometimes. It's a really important song because it reminds us how glad we are that Jesus came to live and love us. Okay. You ready to hear a story? Yeah, you like stories? Okay. This begins saying, after the Sabbath, and Sabbath means Sunday, okay? After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning. You've seen lightning? My gosh, isn't that brilliant? Yeah. And his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. They fell over like they were dead. Wow. They were afraid, right? But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come and see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell the disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. He said, "Good morning." And they came and they grabbed his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I am going to Galilee, and they will see me there." Wow. The women came to see the tomb, and Jesus came to see them. Pretty cool, huh? This is the story of Jesus' resurrection, the day Jesus was raised from the dead. Thanks be to God. Amen. Do you like that story? Is that okay? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Rumor has it that there is no children's church today. You get to stay with us. Well, and that person gets to stay too. So thank you, ladies, for sharing the story with me. It's good to see all three of you. What a beautiful trio of God's daughters we've been blessed with today. Go on. It is a joyful story. And Matthew begins by telling us, his readers, that it happened on the first day of the week. The first day of the week, like today. And it was 3 days after that extraordinary, devastating day. The day when Jesus was killed. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary must have awakened well before the birds began to sing that morning. Well, if they had even gotten any rest at all the night before. The images of Friday's events were too horrifying to fade quickly from their mind's eye. First, there was that mock trial before Pilate that the priests and the other leaders had demanded. And the clamor of the rabid crowd that squeezed into that royal courtyard. And their leader, their friend, Jesus, in chains, being led away by Roman guards. And the tragic spectacle of him carrying his own cross and being whipped like a beast of burden up the hill to Golgotha. Worst of all was watching that cross bearing his body, being raised up so his life, like a candle without oxygen, could be snuffed out. And then the darkness overcame the daylight and the earthquake. Oh my, the earthquake. The earth had rumbled and shaken and split at the seams when Jesus died. These women had watched the entire drama from a distance, and they would never forget it. Even now, the memory of the whole thing remained terrifying and quite unbelievable. Whispered rumors had been passed to them. They knew that Jesus' tomb had been sealed with a great stone so that they could not move his body to a more private place and then cause rumors themselves, saying that he'd been raised as he'd promised. Oh, the furor of those words would cause among the Passover pilgrims to Jerusalem. Every part of that day had felt unreal. And now the women felt entirely worn out, as if they'd traveled a long, long way through extremely rocky countryside. Both women had become so mentally and emotionally and spiritually exhausted, they could barely make their ways to their beds at night. They had hardly noticed that neither Jesus nor the men were around. Of course, the disciples had fled from the trial in fear that they too would be rounded up, imprisoned, and accused of treason against Rome or blasphemy against God. Sleep seemed to be the only escape available to these women. So they laid down on their mats and closed their eyes. In a few short hours, the world that they had known had changed in unthinkable ways. Or had it? Perhaps that day had been a nightmare. So, as if to confirm whatever the reality was, the two Marys agreed to leave the house before dawn to go see the tomb. They didn't want the others to know, and they certainly didn't want the guards to see them. But they needed to see where Jesus had been laid. And indeed, there was a very, very large stone, a boulder, tucked into the burial cave's entrance. It was so large, many, many men would be needed to even begin to move it away. And Roman warriors stood beside the rock to ensure that no one would disturb the area. No, that devastating day had not been a dream. Jesus had been alive. Now he was dead. And they had witnessed his last breath. Yet before their grief could overcome them, the earth began to quake once more. Only this was no aftershock, for as they watched, someone descended from the sky above, brilliant as a lightning bolt that could shock a person to death. He was no ordinary vision. This being was not human. He was from another place. And once he arrived, he immediately, by himself, rolled the boulder away. And then, as if everything was perfectly ordinary, the messenger sat on the rock. It's no surprise when seeing this extremely unexpected event, the guards shook in fear and fell over as if they were dead. The women had come to the tomb to see Jesus' burial place. They were trying to come to grips with what had happened. What was now taking place could not have been anything but confusing. And as we all know, confusion often leads to fear. This otherworldly newcomer seemed to expect their apprehension, for he quickly tells them to fear not. And he gives them a very good reason why they should not worry. You see, Jesus has been raised, just as he said. And then this being, this messenger, invites the two Marys to look inside the tomb. Matthew doesn't say they actually looked, nor does he say they saw the binding cloths lying on the slab of stone where he'd been laid, or that they watched as Jesus himself would walk out of the tomb after that rock had been rolled away. But Matthew does say that they left the tomb at once with both fear and great joy. So to be clear, the Marys came to see the tomb. They needed to see the truth. They saw the giant boulder blocking the entrance. So whatever was inside when the stone was placed must still be there. Then they saw an otherworldly being move the boulder from the mouth of the tomb. They heard him affirm that their Lord had been raised from death and was no longer in the place. The speaker's voice must have sounded gentle but full of wisdom, even godlike. They heard his words instructing them to go and tell the others, and they trusted him. We want to believe they saw no one dead or alive in the tomb. But it's really hard to say given what Matthew tells us. We do know they did as the messenger requested, because they left the tomb on the run with both fear and great joy. What they've just witnessed and heard was astounding. The whole morning experience was becoming an overwhelming miracle, and they had every right to be afraid. But joy? Jesus' tomb had not been violated, it seemed, at least until the messenger's appearance. Yet the tomb must have been empty. How could their Lord not have been there? Could it truly be the messenger was telling the truth about Jesus being raised from death? Could the messenger be from God? That question alone gives rise to the hope that could be in a human being's heart, the heart of one who loved Jesus as a brother or who believed in him as Lord. And it gave these two women courage to take action despite whatever dangers they would face in the day's clear light. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were fully awake by now, and they were full of hope that they would soon see Jesus in Galilee. What they had heard affirmed a joyous promise Jesus himself had made, So of course they ran to tell the others. But suddenly, before they could complete their task, they stopped dead in their tracks. For Jesus came from seemingly nowhere and bid them good morning. Good morning. Jesus' words were so simple, so ordinary, so miraculous. And with them, the women's world changed yet again. Staring at him in awe, the women couldn't speak, but they knew the voice of their shepherd. And when he spoke, they came to him. As Genesis 1, or in Genesis 1, as God created the earth, the oceans, the plants, the animals, and all else in it, God called each thing good. And this began with the very first day of creation. Now, on this first day of the week, God has again created new life. And God shares the good news of this creation by saying good morning. Indeed, this morning, the morning of the first day of Jesus' life eternal, was very, very good. Now, Matthew uses the Greek word proskuneo to describe how the two Marys worshiped Jesus. Proskuneo means they prostrated themselves at his feet. They bowed low before him. There was no shouting hallelujah or singing the doxology. But in that simple action, they offered him the highest form of praise and adoration possible. And isn't that what it is to fall on your knees and pray? I wonder what they prayed about. Was it a prayer of fear, oh God, help us? Or was it more of a prayer of joyous thanksgiving? Their ever-compassionate shepherd soothed their pounding hearts and encouraged them to fear not. Fear not. What a phrase. When faced with the unknown, the unimaginable, the miraculous, the ordinary response is to be afraid. But Jesus has a task for Mary and Mary that he very much needs them to do. And it's a task that could cause fear. It's to leave him and run to where the 11 were hiding, to share the good news that his promise is fulfilled. Jesus is alive. But it is a dangerous task. You see, if caught by the priests or the Romans, they'd be imprisoned. And yet they must have done Jesus' bidding. For this extremely unlikely, even extraordinary story of Matthew's has been passed down from generation to generation to generation of brothers and sisters until it has come to us. Like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, over the last 40 days, we have journeyed with Jesus from our homes to Jerusalem. We've cheered his entrance to the city, listened to his teachings, shared in his Last Supper. We've watched the trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion. We've prayed and hoped along with these women. And now, on the first day of the week, we hear Jesus' greeting. Good morning. And it is a very good morning. God's promise has been fulfilled. So go. Fear not. Do as the two Marys and millions of others have done since that very first day. Tell not just the brothers and the sisters Jesus' extraordinary news. Tell everyone. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ the Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Christ the Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Will you rise as you are able and say with me the words of the Apostles' Creed to affirm your faith in the miracle that has happened, Jesus Christ is alive. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius
Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. O God of the resurrection, on this most holy of days, the first day of new life in Christ, we lift our songs, praises, and prayers to you, for you alone are worthy. You created the world and all that is in it and called it good. You called us into life and into your service to care for your good and green earth, and you honor us with your unfailing presence in our lives. We thank you for all the gifts you have showered upon us this day and throughout our lives. The beauty of this spring day when life unfolds into wondrous visions before our eyes, the love of families and friends, the song of birds and the feeling of the soft breeze on our faces. Now we ask that you hear our prayers for this world, and we ask that you hear us say, hear our prayer, after we remember that you are our living God. Through Christ, we pray for the church. We pray that you will let us be people of joy, living in witness to the power of the resurrection and the good news of your grace and peace. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for the earth. From the muds of flooded earth, raise up new creation, full of beauty, wonder, and glory. O living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for all nations. We especially pray for the peoples of the Holy Land and countries at war with one another. Let the message of your saving power spread throughout the world that the dominion of death is no more. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for this community. Let the doors of this church be open wide as we go forth in love and service, and let them welcome others who come in to find a home. Living God, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for loved ones. Give hope to those who await good news. Turn their mourning into dancing and their sorrow into joy. We especially pray for those of our families who cannot be with us today, be they separated by miles or schism or illness or death. We ask you hold them in your love and give them the hope of Christ's resurrection. Living God, hear our prayers. O God of all power and glory, we ask that you receive these prayers and continue your mighty work among us. Through Jesus Christ, our living Lord, we pray together using the words he first taught the disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in singing hymn number 122, Thine is the Glory. My brothers and sisters, the story that we've heard this morning does not end with the women running from the tomb and seeing Jesus. For Jesus goes out to see others that day and more throughout the coming days. Listen now for the story of how he visited with the people, the men who were walking to Emmaus. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And while they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" And they stopped, their faces downcast. And the one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over these last few days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him. When they came to Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." And then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. Christ is alive. Thanks be to God. Go out now and share the story with all you meet. And go knowing that you go not alone, but you go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the community of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.